On this week's show, it's a whole lot of games as we talk about E3 2018. And Nige, as normal, is completely unprepared. It's our part one of our E3 special, so stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, people who like Sony PlayStation, people who like Xbox, people who have Nintendo Switches, people who think EA are okay.
Ish.
It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, I have my stalwart, Nige. Say hello, Nige.
Hello, Nige. What up, bro?
What up? So, it was E3 last week.
So it was.
It was. So I watched the conferences. I haven't done this. I didn't do it last year, but I did it the year before. And yeah.
So you watched the whole thing, didn't you?
I wouldn't watch the whole. I watched all of I watched some of Bethesda's, all of Square Enix, all of Microsoft's, all of Sony's, and I got the update on the Nintendo one. I saw a bit of the EA one too.
You've gone and done the whole journalism thing and like watched everything, get a nice overview, and I just watched the trailers.
Yeah,
I got the condensed version.
That's pretty much how it went. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff to forget. Ubisoft's entry with the fucking dancing panda and brass band. Bit on the shit side. The Finnish guy from Charles Fusion, his fat Finnish guy drove down on a motorcycle, and then proceeded to fall into shit. For Charles Fusion, it was interesting, shall we say? But we'll get through that. So, I made notes,
and I didn't,
and you didn't,
because that's what I do. I wing it.
Yeah, you're gonna.
You don't.
I need to do it. The question is, can I read my notes? Because I
see one of us. One of us is professional.
And it's not me. And,
it's not me.
It's not me either.
And it's definitely not our third wheel.
But if you combine us, we equal one professional person.
Yeah, we're half professional each. We're almost pro.
We're almost pro. Anyway. Let's talk about the first conference that I paid attention to, and this is out of order because the Microsoft conference happened first.
Yeah.
But I was more interested in the Bethesda conference. Concert.
Have you been drinking, sir?
Yeah, I am actually drinking. I've got this lovely Bailey's strawberries and cream.
Oh shit! I want some.
Fucking delicious! It's like a dessert. It's drinking a dessert. It's not that alcoholic, but it's oh. God, it's...
I love a Bailey's.
Oh, strawberries.
I love a Bailey's. Or a Dooley's. Dooley's is lovely.
Yeah, it's just like drinking strawberry milkshake with a hint of alcohol, and it's fabulous. Anyway.
That's too easy to get pissed on.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, I think me and my wife have almost drunk the whole bottle. And when he got
in
it...
In half
like,
a day. No wonder she's... Well, you know, she's a school teacher, so that's a stereotype.
Yeah, all school
teachers. In the evenings.
School teachers are... Anyway, sorry, back to the Bethesda concert, sorry. Bethesda
conference. Sorry, digress.
Yes, you did digress. Anyway, I'm going to have another slap of alcohol.
So, you need to tell me.
Right.
I know there's one thing that is key to the Bethesda universe, as it were.
Well, Bethesda's big ticket item, and it's Fallout. And I'm very... I was okay at first when I saw it. And then when more details got released over the course... God, more concerned. So this is Fallout 76.
So I saw the trailer.
Yep.
And it looked interesting because it looked like the trailer is of a Vault 76, which is your normal vault. So in Fallout, if you're aware, or maybe you're not, Vault Tech have many, many vaults. And within some of these vaults, they do experimental things, like they freeze people or they treat people a certain way, or that sort of thing. And then you've got your control vaults, where everything goes on as normal, as you would expect it to be in your normal life. You live underground, though. That's the only thing. And Vault 76 is meant to be one of those, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, it's supposed to have been commissioned by the American government, put into action 3 months before the bombs fell. Now, this is the thing that gets me. Right, Fallout. Fallout is a really heavy RPG game. Yeah. It's all about that interaction with your NPCs and going out on quests and the big story that kind of drives the game. So in the first one that Bethesda did under this banner, Fallout 3, it was the quest of finding your father and what happened to him. Yeah. Fallout 4, it was finding your son and what happened to him because he got taken away from you. New Vegas, it was why the fuck were you shot in the head and left for dead in a ditch? Now, Fallout 76 has no real single-player game.
So are they turning this into a multiplayer game?
Wait, let me go through, and then it's easier to understand.
Please explain.
I paused for being dramatic
effect.
And
I jumped in there going, no!
You took that as a cue to speak.
I told you, man, I'm a professional.
As I said, there's half a professional between the two of us.
I'm a professional twat.
Anyway, there's no real single player. Bring it back together, boy. Right, so there's no real single player story, yeah? There's supposed to be a story, but it's not like a Fallout style story, yeah. There are no NPCs that you can talk to.
Okay.
Yeah, this is where it starts getting bad. And it's built around exploration. Do you remember a game that fashioned itself around exploration, came out and was a horrendous fucking letdown?
Could that have been No Man's Sky?
Yeah, yeah. And it was starting to sound a bit like old what's his mush Murray, Sean Murray. It's always online.
What?
Yeah, it's always online. He said you can play it singly, but when he said you can play it singly, that means you just don't team up with anyone.
So, single player is still online, but you just don't talk to people.
Yeah, you just don't interact with people. They just run around the world and screw you up. Now,
so how are you meant to trade, sell?
You have to interact with these people.
Because if there's no NPCs...
Well, there's no NPCs like there is in Fallout. There's no crazy old lady living in a calf fending off rad roaches. It's, how can I put it? It's just going to be like you get with other games that are shit when it comes to these things. But you've got that.
Is the economy going to be purely based around trading with other players? Do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. And the more I learn, the worse it gets. I am
concerned because Bethesda, initially, before E3, I can't remember how long before E3, but I'm pretty sure they said that single-player games are not dead with us. I'm pretty sure they said that.
Yeah.
So, for them to come out and make the next announcement of the game that they make is a Fallout game.
Yeah.
Where it's with other people, where it typically has not been.
Yeah.
Then sort of moving away from the demographic of Fallout.
Yeah. Well, you're disrespecting the source material, shall we say?
Yes. And how many times have we said that?
And how many times?
Look what happens.
And I don't know why they just didn't give Obsidian the Fallout 4 engine and say, go build something with it. Because they would have come up with something good. Because they were the originators of Fallout. But right. come back to the game. It's always online. It's gonna be like Destiny.
Okay.
Yeah, Destiny 2.
I played that a bit.
It was
couldn't grab me.
No, it didn't grab me at all.
The first game grabbed us. Obviously, we all got it, and you and Keith came over. Hi, Keith. You and Keith came over. Actually, it was around my birthday because we just got our PlayStations, our white supremacist PlayStations.
Yes, your white supremacist PlayStations.
And we played Destiny until we fucking hit the cap, level cap. And then we all sat there and went, oh, was that it?
Yeah, because it was, we together we did it quite easily.
In a threesome, we blitzed it. But then we didn't do the same with Destiny 2. But maybe we should jump on Destiny 2 together and play that. But
what I was saying is the new Fallout game is going to be like Destiny in that kind of respect. As in, you can go out and do your own stuff, but it doesn't do that. Plus, they're going to put random events in the game and some procedural generated missions, which will probably be you get a block of text from a computer, so you can't really talk to it, so there's no fucking speech quests or anything like that.
Yeah.
You've got that. The map is four times the size of the map that was in Fallout 4.
So four times the amount of running?
Well, four times...
To get anywhere? Well,
there's no one in it. That's the problem with it. There's no fucker in it. So I don't get
Even
it.
Even in Fallout 4, there is a bit of travelling in between each thing that you need to do. Or
but there's
the
stuff,
towns.
But there's shit to see in between, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You can't walk about 500 metres without bumping into something.
Well, yeah, exactly. And when I was playing Fallout 4, I had the squirrel mentality, where I'd be walking along, there's my target, I'd see something out of the corner of my eye, and I'd go, I'm going to do that. And I'd never get to where I intended to get to, and because I'd done four side quests on the way.
Yeah, but that's...
And that's why it was so big.
That was a good thing. That was interesting, because you did it because you were enjoying yourself. They went, you know what?
And
my son will be fine.
my son would be fine. He can wait a bit longer. To be honest, I had the same thing with Skyrim.
Yeah.
And Oblivion. But hey.
Yeah.
What do we know?
So
as long as it, I don't care if it's four times as big, as long as they, you know, still have that same mentality about the game, where something's on the way to do. You know, if it's just fleshing it out with just a bit of barren land,
I don't think it's gonna be. It's because it's gonna focus around on the kind of combat aspects of it. Another part of it is you can gain keys to a nuclear missile facility, and you can nuke things.
Right.
So you can say in Fallout 4, you built up one of those really big kind of bases where you did lots of really cool shit in it. Yeah. You can get nuked, basically. So the guys who have got the activation for the nuclear thing can then nuke and destroy you. The game hinges around these things called they call them Scorch Beasts, but they're fucking dragons from Skyrim.
Right.
Yeah, and the idea is that you're supposed to get the nuclear things to fire nukes into the holes in which they're coming out of. And stop them from coming up. That's the idea of it. But
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just going to turn to Griefer's Paradise.
It will be a Griefer's Paradise.
But here's the thing they said about the Griefer's Paradise, because apparently when you nuke an area, it unearths like loot for you to get. This is a Fallout game in only its name. It's not Fallout, is it? It's not Fallout. It's pissing me off. Because the other thing too is VATS, yeah? VATS are there in the game, but they happen... Well, in Fallout 3, the time paused for you to figure out what's going on.
Well, yeah. Did it pause completely, or did
in
it slow
three,
it down to the point where it's still
moving?
No,
what it was is in 3, it paused completely. In 4, it slowed time down.
Yeah.
Now, the slowing down of time made more sense to me, but the long and short of it is they got fucking rid of it. They'll have it in there so you can target an area, but you'd be better off just being a Twitch shooter and using your Call of Duty skills.
Yeah, because didn't they didn't they mention something along the lines of, yeah, you've got Twitch shooters, like people who play COD quite a lot, or say Battlefront, or your generic FPS shooter. If you're pretty good at Twitch shooting on those and fairly accurate, then the VAT system for you, it's fine. You know, you don't really need to use it. Whereas in this, because it's real time and the game doesn't slow down when you use VATs, you need to put points, skill points, into VATs.
Yeah.
In order to use it efficiently to get up to the same standard as people who don't need to put points into it.
So, well, this is the thing.
It's a waste of points, really.
When you play the third one or the fourth one or New Vegas and you use the VAT system, there was a, I don't know if it was in the fourth one, but it was definitely in Vegas and 3. You had a thing called Grim Reaper Sprints. And the idea of Grim Reaper Sprints was if you killed someone in VATs, it would reset your action points and allow you to stay in VATs and have another go. And then if you killed that person, it would then reset. And then what would happen is that you'd be like the god of the fucking wasteland, taking everyone out in slow motion. Yeah.
You walk into a room full of 10 people and you one shot every single thing before anything's got a chance to react.
Yeah. And it was...
It feels like God mode.
Yeah, it is like God mode. And it's great when you get up to the level in the game to allow you that. And it was even better when I played it and I could add on some more bloody perks, because I put the Grim Reaper sprints on for the third one and then the add-ons came out. And yeah. Because the add-ons came out, they put the cap from 20 to 30. Was it 20 to 40? Might be 20 to 30. Put it 20 to 30 and I could add in other stuff too. So I had like... gore mode, so when you shot someone it was extra gory and that was entertaining. Going back to the game, you can have portable camps, so you can set up little mini bases when you you sort your bits out, and that they're slightly smaller than the large settlements. You got your large settlements like you had previously, which you can build up. There's a wanted level in it, so if you're playing and you're being a dick to the other characters in the game, you get wanted rating on that, and if that happens, then the other players can kill you and get even more shit from you.
Okay.
That sounds interesting, but again, it doesn't sound like Fallout.
No.
Yeah.
Although it's a way that they're sticking that in to combat griefing.
Yeah. Another part of the game is that in Vegas you had hardcore mode where you had to make sure you ate regularly and you drank regularly. And they're putting that into the game, the regular game, rather than have a hardcore mode in the game.
You should get a choice, really.
Fucking chopper. Do you mind?
Fuck me.
I'll put you in the fucking police. I have to close the window. Sorry about that.
God, they're chasing a scallywag.
Oh, there's some scallywag around it. They're just flying around for the sake of it, because they need to use
so they love a good fly.
Yeah. If they don't use it, it gets taken away from them. Anyway, yeah, so you've got that. You've got your skills cards this time. So instead of unlocking all the thingies, you get cards. So I don't know if it's like level 10, you get to hold 3 cards. At level 20, you get to hold 5 cards or 6 cards or whatever. And then you can swap out the cards for skills that you want. And you can also give those cards to other players. So you can earn a card. Say, hey, you know what? I don't need it here. Nine, have the card. And then do it like that.
I like that you can trade the card. However, I don't like the cards.
No, I don't like the cards either.
I think that reminds me of how Battlefront 2 came out from EA, of course, where they completely fucked the skill tree by using cards. And you had to buy cards or unlock them from loot boxes in order to, skill up. And it was a trash system. Absolutely pointless. It was terrible. My kids, who love playing Battlefront, and you'll attest to this because they want to play it over your house as well,
yeah,
hated Battlefront 2 because of it. And it got played for, well, not very long at all. It was a complete waste of money.
And then they went.
They keep going back to Battlefront 1.
I was going to say, and then they went back to playing Fortnite was the one that always bloody playing on.
Yeah, they play Fortnite now, but back then, Fortnite wasn't out, and Battlefront 2 was out, and I thought, oh, that'd be a good present for him. Yeah. I had looked into it. There was some changes before I bought it, obviously, because I don't know my shit like you do, but yeah. I'm not stupid.
Okay, well, let me.
Although, hey, fucking cards, I'm out. I'm not buying it.
So you got perk cards. Let's wait until I get to the end of this, all right? Because I've got one note right at the end of this. Radiation. Now, radiation on the, in the game can cause mutations, yeah? And you can get, like, special skills off the back end of these mutations.
Right.
They can, you can heal the mutation or, you know, or keep the mutation, depending if that's the case.
Depends if it's shit or not.
Yeah. They talk about mods. They said that mods will come, but in a special way because it's an online game. And this is the bit that kind of went, made me go, oh, fuck. Microtransactions in the shape of visual upgrades, as they just call it.
What is the point? I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm gone. I don't care. I'm not even interested in the game anymore. I was excited when I saw the initial trailer because I hadn't given any details of it away.
Yeah, because there are no fucking details to give away that anyone's going to be happy with.
No, exactly. And now, as soon as they say, oh, it's online, I'm edging towards out. Oh, we're changing that. I'm edging towards out even more now.
They've got rid of the NPCs, the best part of the fucking game.
The discussions and the extra quests and
speech challenges, that sort of thing.
Yeah. All of that, all of the good shit from Fallout isn't in the game, and they've changed it all. It's not Fallout. They should have called it something else. Challenges of a nuclear wasteland or something. A Fallout story.
A Fallout story. Like, that's what they should call it. Fault 76, a Fallout story. That is perfect. That is the best way of doing it, because that way it would have told us that it's in the Fallout universe, but it's not Fallout.
It's not Fallout, but it's in Fallout. Yeah.
I don't get them because they've got... The game system is really good. They've nailed interesting gameplay down. And then they want to fuck it by doing this.
Yeah. Dickheads. Dickheads. I urge anybody who is interested in Fallout, when this is coming up to release, if there are very, very little amounts of gameplay reviews able to be shown and released prior to the release of the actual game, then it's odds on it's a shit game and there's an embargo on letting reviews out, you know?
Yeah.
In which case, it's a shit game.
Yeah.
If they allow reviews of the game out prior to release, 2-3 weeks before release, etc., etc., then odds on they're really happy with the game and you're quite likely to get a decent game out of it. But I would urge you, before buying this, really do your homework. Just because it says Fallout, it's not Fallout. But they may change things up until release.
Yeah.
You know what they're like. So before I get too annoyed with Fallout, was there any other bits?
Yeah. I've still got another page and a bit of notes for just Bethesda.
For just Bethesda?
This is just Bethesda, mate. As I said, I watched them all, and I then had to go back and watch making notes.
Shit, man. Okay,
all right, so...
We're going to have to split this podcast up.
Okay, we might have to split this podcast up. But let's just carry on where we're going and we'll work out where to put an insertion point.
What's next on the Bethesda thing?
Okay, Rage 2. I played the original Rage, and it was good, but just missing that extra something, which I couldn't put my fucking finger on. The enemies were great because they'd navigate the scenery, and it doesn't sound like much. They genuinely navigate the scenery. Like, they climb over boxes and crawl up walls and stuff like that, more so than you get in other games, where other characters kind of avoid bits of scenery so that they can look a bit more fluid. These guys would put the hand on something and lean on something because they were shooting you. It sounds a really odd thing to remember, but it was a bit that stuck out with me. It was a very beautiful game. The new one looks good. It's being done by the people who... by id and Avalanche Studios, who do Just Cause. So I'm hoping that the Avalanche Studios part of it will help open the game world up and make it a bit more interesting.
I like that. Id. ID.
I know, I id, as in the id, as in the part of psyche.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I always thought it was. I always thought it was id, as in that kind of part.
I just thought it was ID. Okay.
There's no. Yeah. It might be I. You say tomato, I say tomato, because we're both English.
Yeah. Somebody else says tomato. We don't know who they are, but they do.
Shut up. I'm just using your tomato. It was funny because there was a band that came on beforehand, and this is the funny thing: is I watched these streams live, yeah, and the band on it didn't get a reaction. There were like 10 people in the audience were like, "Yeah." Everyone else was like, "Who are these fuckers? Where's our games?" but that looks good. They also showed off Skyrim has now been ported to, I think, almost everything, because it's on the Amazon Echo. Only in the States, because I wouldn't go and play it on my Amazon Echo to see if it was... Amazon Alexa, not Amazon Echo. I went to go and play it on my Echo Dot, and it was like, this is only available in the States. I was like, ah! That would have been great. I could have said, what are you doing? I'm playing Skyrim on my Echo Dot.
So it's like a text adventure, so...
Yes.
But with voice.
Yeah, but you sit there and it's like kind of, do you turn left or do you turn right? Turn right.
Turn right.
Turn left. No, turn right. Turn left. No, right. Ah, fuck.
No, right.
Yeah.
Not right. No.
Yeah.
Turn right. Not turning right. Oh, fuck it, quit.
They also showed off Doom Eternal, which is Doom 2, Hell on Earth.
Okay.
They only showed, like, it didn't show much, it didn't show any gameplay, but they showed, like, cut sequences. But given how good that game was, and I'm so glad that you've returned it to me so I can play it again. Because it was like, I was really, real hankering for a Doom. Doom, the way they've done it is they kind of brought, they made circle strafing cool. Like, that's the only way I could describe it. Because when I play it, I don't stop running, and that's what the idea of the game is, to not stop running. But they've got that Hell on Earth. There's a few new characters that were missing from the previous versions in there, which looks quite good. They brought out a new Prey add-on for multiplayer. If you play Prey, you have this thing called the Typhon, yeah, which are overrunning the station, which is orbiting the moon. And these Typhon organisms can happen in very different kind of forms, but they're called mimics. And mimics can pretend to be things. So what they've done is they've turned their multiplayer into a legitimate form of prop hunt, because it's contextually correct. They're not ripping anything off, because that's what the creatures do inside the game. They've got that. They've also got another thing called Moon Crash, which is a set of procedurally generated levels for you to play through with your skills, and they've introduced Game Plus mode. Which I'm actually tempted to go and have a go on Game Plus mode, because I was thinking about replaying it and I didn't really have a reason for it.
That was part of Prey, wasn't it? Yes. DLC.
Yes, part of Prey DLC. They also kind of hinted at Wolfenstein, the Young Blood add-on for Wolfenstein 2, which I think wasn't as good as the first one. Now I look back on it, it wasn't as good as the first one. It's, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the term they use, grunt removal, where you just have some people you could just mow down with your machine guns. But it's they've got it. The new Colossus is add on. It's a thing called Young Blood, and it's about his twin daughters in the 1980s. Could be interesting. I don't know. I'm hoping that the third Wolfenstein game, they do a bit of refining on it, just to make the gameplay a little bit better and the level design less clanky, because it had really clanky level design in places, which even I would have been able to spot, and I'm not a fucking game designer. Okay, that was Bethesda.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I did pay a lot of attention to Bethesda, and then I paid a lot of attention to Microsoft. First things first, yeah, Phil Spencer came out and looks like he's put on a bit of weight. Looked at him and was like, kind of, oh, you're looking a bit jowly. He came out, and the first thing he did is he announced Halo Infinite. with Master Chief. That's what he said directly, with Master Chief, because the last Halo game, Halo Guardians, which was Halo 5 maybe, didn't have Master Chief in it. It had Master Chief for 4 of its 12 levels. I heard the reason behind the developers doing it. They thought that Master Chief wasn't a major character.
Who thought that?
343 Industries, who have taken over development of Halo.
I've never really played Halo or had an Xbox, and I know that that is a major character.
Yeah, I know.
So how can the people who are developing it not know?
The thing that got me is they did Halo 4, and I think Halo 4 is the best Halo game. Yeah, I played that on the 360, and I really fucking enjoyed it, and it looked beautiful, and had a good storyline, and had good music and everything in it. And I don't know how they went from that to the Master Chief Collection to Guardians and just screwed everything up. It doesn't make any sense in my book, but hey. It's weird that when I watched it, the graphics didn't look quite right. Yeah, they didn't look... I think it was in-engine, but it didn't look to scale. And they were trying to show off things like kind of... you're going to have more kind of natural environments and like kind of like animals, flora and fauna and all that shite. But it just looked a bit off. And I can't quite describe it. I don't know, maybe it was... I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger on it, but it looked a little off. And maybe you should see the trailer and you can tell me what you think is off with it. That was the other thing. It looked like an open world game. That was the impression I got from it. Watch the trailer. I didn't read the second line of my notes. Looked like an open world game. It looked like they chiseled together some kind of open world game, which is fine. But remember to be respectful of the source material. Comes back to that Fallout thing. They revealed 50 games, of 18 which were exclusives. Which were mostly indie games. They said that they went out and spent some money and bought some studios. So they bought... I can't remember. Hang on a second. It's got dark all of a sudden. Someone's got to turn the light on so they can read their notes.
It's in your eyes.
Yes. So the month... And they bought some... some other studios, which is on the next page. They showed off a game called, oh my god, something. It looks like Sekiro's Shadows. Sekiro's Shadows Die Twice. Which is my bad handwriting. It's a samurai
Seiko.
Game. Seiko, like the watchmaker.
S-E-K-I-O.
Yeah.
Shadows Die Twice.
Yeah. It's a samurai game. Looks very Tenchu. If you watch the trailer, looks very Tenchu-ish. Which, not a bad thing.
I think I saw that. What was that other samurai game I saw recently? Kowai?
No, we'll wait for that one. You're thinking of the one by Sucker Punch, the Sony one. We'll get to that.
One of these were Dark Souls type. Strategy on the.
Yeah, this is going to be the Dark Souls one. It's got like a weird, like kind of. It's like Spider-Man with his webs, but more samurai-ish. That sounds really bad. They showed it off. That was quite good. They showed off bits of Fallout 76. Again, worried. The beta comes first to the Xbox One before it comes to PlayStation 4, because they're kind of in bed with the Xbox people, and I understand that. They then showed off Crackdown. Now, last time I saw Crackdown was, I think it was 2 years ago, and last time I watched bloody E3, actually. And they showed off tons of destruction. They said that all this destruction would happen on a cloud server somewhere, and it would take care of all the equations and stuff for it, so your Xbox would just produce the graphics.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
you remember that? That seems to have gone very quietly. They didn't mention it and didn't really show anything of these massive structures falling over. And I think that option from the game has been removed. I think that they...
Because they couldn't get it to do it.
Couldn't get it to do it right. I imagine it was probably more to do with the reliability of connections. I imagine if they were doing it inside an office, they probably had that thing fucking nailed down to fine art. But as soon as you went home and started playing on it,
yeah,
it started lagging and there were problems. So it happens. Not good, because that was the big sales feature of the game. And now I'm hoping that Terry Crews, who's in the advert for the game, will actually be in the game. Because that would be...
Possibly.
That would be quite good. The next one they showed off Metro Exodus. Because in the last Metro game, they left the subway system. And now they're taking a train through the countryside. You can change weapons on the fly like you could with Crisis 2 and 3. And First Crisis, actually. Looks alright. They showed off Kingdom Hearts Trailer 3. To which they had some sound issues. And this is weird, because I watched it and they had some sound issues to the point that they had the audio of the speakers and the sound wasn't balanced out for the like interaction, the Foley kind of, what they call it. So it sounded really weird. But hey, that was one of those things. Forza Horizon 4, or as I think they should relabel it, Forza Horizon Great Britain, because it's set all around the British Isles. They were putting a big emphasis on season changing, so it's like you drive across frozen lakes when they're frozen, and then it becomes autumn and stuff like that. Look really pretty, look really well done together, apart from they were trying to sell us on stuff that we already know happens with the changing of the seasons and stuff like that, and trying to make it out that it was something new. Didn't quite appreciate that. Public events they've got in there. And they've got some other bits in there. I think you've got some bikes and some dune buggies and stuff in there. As I was trying to say earlier, they bought 5 new studios. They bought Ninja Theory, which is Andy... I don't know if Andy Serkis still owns it. Maybe sold it. Andy Serkis is Ninja Theory. Undead Labs, Playground Games, Compulsion Games, and another one that they create called The Initiative. And they're supposed to be making first-party games. The only one that I would rate is probably Ninja Theory. And Ninja Theory were coming across as the best indie. They were coming across as one of the better indie publishers, because they had an exclusive deal with Sony to start with on the PS3. That's when I first heard about them, for Heavenly Sword, starring Andy Serkis. And then they moved on to Enslaved, which they put across all platforms, again starring Andy Serkis. Then they did Devil May Cry, or DMC, and they showed that off. It's one of those things where it's like, kind of, okay. Now, this is something weird, because I tried showing you this, and they must have edited this. The Division 2 showed at the Microsoft press conference, yeah? And after it showed, nobody clapped. Now, I need to find another stream so I can find this as an example, because when I replayed you the stream, they seem to have pumped in some noise. But given the fact that...
Yeah, it sounded... The applause and stuff that we heard, it sounded very... I don't know how you can put it. Robotic?
Canned,
and I think. Canned in. Yeah, because... Yeah, canned laughter and whooping and clapping, because... It stopped so abruptly as somebody was speaking. The next thing was going on. It was almost perfect. Do you know what I mean? Because usually there's a little bit of tailback where he starts, next person comes out and they start to speak. And there's a little bit of, overlap.
Then
it dies off. And then they stop and they go, oh, well, they might not have heard me. I'll start again. None of that. It was like literally perfect, and it sounded a bit too perfect.
Yeah, because I watched it live and it showed, and dear Ubisoft, we saw what you did with The Division the first time round. The game turned out to be completely different, because you can't produce what you promise, so don't promise us it.
Yeah, Well, after however long it was out, a couple of my mates were still playing it. That, you know, they're very loyal. And they were saying the game was almost completely different to, you know, how it played when it first came out. I can't attest to that because I did that. I re-downloaded it on my PC and had a quick go, run around and stuff, and it just felt exactly the same. Although I didn't get to join up with my mates and go and do some missions and stuff like that, so I didn't get to test the bits that probably have changed, you know. However, The Division is technically an MMORPG. So when you're shooting someone, they're a bit of a bullet sponge.
Yeah.
So it's very much the same as if you're playing, say, EverQuest or Dark Age Camelot or something of that ilk, where you're trying to kill something and it's got a life and you have to do a certain amount of damage before it's dead. And it, with doing that, you can sort of regen whatever energy or magic or whatever, you know, when you're doing those. But in The Division, if you're not the support class or whatever, then you run out of ammo.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, now what? This bloke's taking all my fucking bullets, now what?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was very bullet spongy, and it was a bit annoying because it is a shooter.
You know what I found really annoying is the fact that they had scripted dialogue to try and make out that people were playing this game.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody here knows when you play with people, and like even your mates, yeah, they say stupid shit, they try and aggro you, you know, they fuck around, all these kind of things, yeah. This dialogue was too perfect to the point that it was, it wasn't right.
There was another one, another trailer, I think it was Sea of Thieves, which was very, very scripted as well.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I'm just meeting up with my mate. Oh, Anthem as well.
Yeah.
Which you might mention at some point, but Anthem was so scripted, it was ridiculous. It was, yeah. It looked interesting. Oh, actually, it looked like fucking Destiny, to be fair.
It looked like a more mobile version of Destiny, if that makes
sense. Yes.
Like, you had more freedom to move. So, like Space Harrier on the old Sega Master System.
Yeah, it did look interesting. I'll keep an eye out on that one, because it did look a little bit more free-roamy. And you could just pop in and play with your mates, and hopefully that'll be... a bit more of a draw.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But the Division 2, they showed it. No one believes that that's what the game's going to look like. Drop it down to 900p and smear Vaseline all over your screen, and that's what it's going to look like. that was one of the comments I saw written down, and I was like, "Yep, that's spot on there." But this is a funny thing is that you had the Division 2 trailer, yeah. And then you had the head of Xbox Game Pass come out, yeah? And by putting the noise in, they made her seem nervous when she didn't need to be nervous. But when you didn't have the noise in there and she walked out, you understood why she was nervous? Because she came out and she went, shit, they didn't like that. And I've got to follow.
Yeah.
And Xbox Game Pass, yeah, I think it's the best idea of this generation. Yeah, it's download a game from a library, play it, don't like it, delete it, download another one. Okay, the game quality might not be there at the moment, but the idea that if you had a Games Pass that you could play the Xbox One exclusive, I know they haven't got many, but they're buying studios, the Xbox One exclusive games on launch day. So I think...
Now, don't get this confused with the PS Now.
Wait. Because I got news on that, which I found out just before this podcast.
Well, the current iteration is that you stream it.
Yeah, so hang on. Wait. I have so much information. This is what happens when you let me write loads of notes.
Oh, God.
You're not going to find a way in.
You know, so I've got limited time.
I know you've got limited time. But anyway, but Xbox Game Pass, I think it's a bloody brilliant idea. They're going to let you have... they're going to put in Halo Infinite and Gears, the new Gears game that they showed off, and Forza on the days that they come out. So if you've got Games Pass, yeah, at midnight, you can download that game and play it. And you don't have to buy it. So for £20 a month, I think it's £20 a month, might be £20 a month, or actually it might be £7 a month. But so say £10 a month, yeah? £10 a month, you'll get their exclusive games. That sounds like a fucking good deal to me.
You can only have one of those games at any one time.
Yeah. But
so, yeah, you've got to download it, play it until you can't be bothered with it anymore, and then you delete it. And once it's deleted, that's when you can download a new game.
That's how I believe it works. I've got to try it. I think what I might do is I might sign up for it, and you might come round, and then we might just see how it works, just to do like a video.
I might actually play an Xbox One for once.
Yeah,
never done it.
Which looks good. The poor woman looked fucking terrified. Then they showed off a load of indie games on there to say this was what an Xbox Games Pass. So they didn't make it seem very attractive, which wasn't good. And then before this podcast started, there's rumours that next year the PlayStation 4 games that they've got in the PlayStation Now library, they will let you download in the same fashion, because that would save them money on the streaming and the servers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, and that's where competition is a good thing, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I never liked the idea of PlayStation Now, to be fair.
It's too ahead of its time. The technology's not there for it. The infrastructure isn't there.
No, exactly. I was going to say, we've still got parts of the UK that, they don't even have fibre broadband. They're still down the copper line. You'll get about between 2 and 5 megabyte expected download speed, which probably means half a kilobyte. Do you know what I mean? So it's so ahead of its time for the infrastructure that we've got in the UK. I don't know what it's like, in the US, but
it probably only works in Korea.
Probably, because they've got a fantastic infrastructure.
Yes,
South Korea. It has to be said.
South Korea. Yes.
Well, you never know. So
that was something new I heard. They showed off Devil May Cry 5. It's ironic because the character looks like a white-haired version of the DMC character, which everybody hated because he had short hair and it wasn't white. Now it's got the same fucking model hair and everybody fucking loves it. God knows what's going on there. And the other DMC game wasn't that bad. It was clearly not the same developers, but they nailed the gameplay down, as far as I felt, for my two copies that I've got, one on PS3 and the other on Steam. The Steam one's better because it's 60 frames a second on my one. And then they finished off by showing off Cyberpunk 20 something. 2077. They showed off that, yeah. They didn't really show it off. They just they had a pre-rendered sequence, but it's from the people who made The Witcher.
Yeah, CD Projekt Red.
So there's a.
So you can expect good things of that, whatever it might be. I think it's based in 2077, but inside inside a city.
I believe it's set inside Los Angeles. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to call this the end of part one. And if you're excited enough to find out what happens in part two...
I know you can't contain yourselves.
You can download that in a moment. So, thank you for listening. And we'll get back to you with part two. Cheers.
Bye.